Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Dream No More, by Joseph Krumgold, was adapted from the motion picture of the same name.
Your name?
Shlomo Volmus.
Age?
27, Doctor.
Any chronic illnesses?
Chronic?
Any weakness you've suffered again and again, really serious?
Hunger.
Mm-hmm. Please step behind the fluoroscope.
What was the use of this? How could they find out what was wrong with Shlomo Volmus? It wasn't his heart, it wasn't his lungs. These things had kept going. A whole continent had organized to stop the heart of Shlomo Volmus, to keep the air out of his lungs. His death was numbered, recorded, and down on the books. But I'd won. Against a whole continent, against a 10-year campaign to put an end to me, I'd kept alive. That was my victory. I had arrived in Israel.
Very good, Shlomo. Step aside. You're all right.
It's all over?
Yes, just step aside, please. You're fine. The nurse will fill out your card.
This was my victory. The only thing for which I had fought so long. Now it was taken for granted. I took my certificate with me when I went to the labor office for my job interview.
From this medical report, seems like you're in fine shape.
Well, it's not so much to be proud of.
No, maybe not. What do you think of Israel?
Well, like a friend of mine was saying the other day. It's nice.
Well, how do you feel about it?
Well, I agree with him.
Making up your mind slowly, is that it?
I don't want to take anything for granted. In case something happens.
Oh, yes. Well, to start filling out some of these papers, Shlomo, do you have any craft?
No, sir.
What particular skills?
None.
Then what kind of work have you done?
Not really any kind.
Nothing.
Well, you know the way it was 10 or 12 years ago. Before things happened in Europe, I never did get the chance. I was too young for any real work.
No previous employment.
I don't know if it's worth mentioning, but I was starting to learn to be a busboy.
Just starting?
Well, I know it isn't much. I know you can't march out in the desert in an apron with only a little tray and make over the whole country, but that's all I've ever done.
That's all right, Shlomo.
What did you say?
I said it's all right. Let me get through these papers.
He wasn't angry. He laughed. He just sat there filling out one paper, then another, as if I were someone really important.
You know, Shlomo, my suggestion for you...
Yes?
You've worked a little around food. How would you like to try growing it?
If you're willing to take the chance, I am.
Good. I'll recommend you to a farming settlement, a well-established kibbutz, Degania. You'll be part of a community of 400 or 500 people. You live with them, work with them, learn. Well, do you agree?
Do I agree? Maybe you'll still find you've made a bad mistake. But if you think you know a place where I can... All those things you just said. Live and learn, work. A place for me with others. Then...
You do agree.
I not only agree, I promise, personally.
Mm-hmm.
traveled up from Tel Aviv by truck, through the valley of the Sharon and up the valley of the Jezreel, and finally past the shores of Lake Kinnereth, which is also the Sea of Galilee. To the south, where the lake flows out into the River Jordan, there stood Degania. It was a farm of 500 acres with fine cow sheds and a barn that looked familiar, like it was somewhere in Eastern Europe. There were many trees and one long avenue of poplars for which Degania was famous. It looked peaceful. A place you'd like to call home, if you could. We stopped in the barnyard. It was empty. There wasn't any welcome, not that I should have a welcome. But except for a girl passing by with a basket of eggs, no one.
I welcomed you. As much as I could with just one smile. You were too excited to notice, to see me as anything more than a blur, carrying eggs. But long before you even came to know my name was Leah, you'd acquired a very close friend. Shlomo, I watched you that morning, marching into the office of Adriel, our secretary, as though you were going to volunteer for frontline duty. And I knew what was coming. It was going to be a struggle. One determined man against a very large idea.
Mr. Secretary,
I'm Azriel, Shlomo. Won't you sit down?
I just want you to know right away, Azriel. I'm ready to do anything, the worst you have. What's more, without wages. I expect nothing.
That's lucky. No one does.
But whatever you do to get paid,
No one gets a penny.
Then however you work it. I mean, you earn a share in the settlement in the kibbutz.
I've worked here for 35 years, Shlomo. If I left tomorrow, I'd walk out with the same valise I brought in.
Well, I don't want to talk about leaving. All I want to say is that when you're dealing with me, please understand you don't have any problems. I don't expect any rights or privileges like the rest of you.
Shlomo, if you're anxious to make a martyr of yourself, you should go somewhere else. There are no rights and privileges here. No salaries. We work for the toughest boss we can find. Ourselves. We do what we can. And we take what we need. And if there isn't enough, we all take less.
The same? Everybody? But how long do you think you can go on living that way?
In 40 years, not one of us has found an answer to that question. By now, we've stopped asking.
And is that all you have to tell me, Azriel? No more.
There's the question of room, new clothes.
No, about me. My position here, how I should behave. It can't be as simple as you put it.
Shlomo, I get the feeling you suspect that I'm holding something back from you.
Well, that's... Well, not exactly. But all this, it's a new idea to me.
It shouldn't be, when you consider that it started a long way back. It's an idea that grew up centuries ago right here in this neighborhood. It's the idea that life is valuable, and that no one life, in the sight of God, is more valuable than another. Doesn't that sound familiar?
Shlomo, it all seemed just a little too good to be true. A whole village in which there were no policemen, in which no one had any more importance than he himself. There had to be a catch in it someplace. And it was in the tailor shop that Shlomo found the catch in all this he was looking for.
Come on in, Shlomo. We'll get you set with a wardrobe.
Well, it doesn't look much like a tailor shop.
Actually, it's more like the general store of the kibbutz. It's here where you can pick up a cake of soap when you need it. Razor blades, cigarettes, or whatever.
All you want?
All anyone might want. If some of us get to feel they want more, we can vote on it at one of the weekly meetings.
Seems funny, voting for cigarettes. By now there must be a whole separate political party made up just of smokers.
No, it's not that bad. Now here, Shlomo, over here against this wall, these bins.
Yes.
Each one of us has a bin where we find our laundry every week. And whatever else might be waiting for us. Now, this one's yours. See, 378.
What's the number for?
Well, we all have a number, according to which things are kept straight and in order. It's entered on this card here.
A number?
It's sewed onto your shirts and the rest of your things.
Once again, I'm a number?
What do you mean, once again? It's just to make things easier.
I know it makes things easier. That's why they gave us numbers at Dachau and Bergen-Belsen.
Shlomo, this is the Ganya.
I'm sorry, Azrael. I'll be back. So that's it. Once again, I'm a number. It hasn't ended. It's still there, the echo of a siren creeping nearer, coming through the walls of your barrack into your bunk in the dead of night. A number. 378. To be added or subtracted the way I behave. Or if I'm found wanting, to be erased completely and sent along my way. They try to be kind here and gentle and good on the surface. But beneath it all, there's a whole web of numbers keeping track of a man.
We've been up against this kind of thing before. There are a lot of Shlomos arriving week after week in the kibbutzim of Israel. Each one is in need of healing, in need of a cure that will work deep in the shadows of his heart and mind. But I must admit that my own Mr. Volmus was a peculiar and special case. His every move was being watched, he was sure. Nothing was simply a job. Everything was a challenge, a test to make him prove himself.
Shlomo! What are you doing way down there?
But Azrael, you told me to dig a hole, didn't you?
For a fence post, not a subway. You're practically out of sight.
He went at choir rehearsals in the very same way.
Piano,
please, everyone. Who is that?
Shlomo! Shlomo! Yeah. Yes, yes, maestro. Shmuel?
It's nice to find you can sing so loud.
I'm glad you like it. I was trying my best.
Glad? Shlomo, a chorus is more than a single voice, understand? A community more than a single man.
That seemed a very difficult lesson for Shlomo to learn. Someone had to take the man in hand. And frankly, I would have welcomed the job. But Shlomo avoided us all. I was giving up hope of ever getting to know him. When all of a sudden it happened. He came walking down the corridor to the place where I was working. I knew what was going to happen. And there he was. Shalom, Shlomo.
Shalom.
Leah.
Leah.
And then all of a sudden there was nothing left in the world except the way he smiled at me. The way we smiled at each other.
I've come, Leah, only to ask you...
I know why you've come.
You do?
Yes, Shlomo. Here. 3 dozen eggs.
Thank you.
We shook hands. And from then on we were friends. And from then on, I tried to work a cure in Shlomo with every chance I could get. Even a boat race on Lake Kinneret against a neighboring kibbutz was an excuse.
Leah! Leah, we're ahead. The Ganya's out front.
Which only goes to prove that our boys can row best.
Well, naturally. Isn't that what the race is about?
No, Shlomo, I don't think so. The end here is not to find a champion. It's to get into the hands of those men a new skill for working together. Together. Not each one proving himself the best, but together.
There. It's over. Whether you like it or not, Leo, we won.
Fine. But what I'd like to know is whether that makes the winner any more valuable than the loser. Does it?
Well, it's just a question of... Leo, what are you getting at?
You don't have to win, Shlomo. That's the point. You're not competing here. You don't have to prove yourself. There are no winners here, no losers. Why can't you see that and somehow take it easy?
Take it easy, Leah?
The simplest acts of Shlomo's life... to sleep, to eat,
to breathe. These had all become words for the headlines of the world. How could he take living again for granted like any other ordinary human being? Though he went to work in the bakery as a second assistant, life remained for him a melodrama. He still went at every chore as if the final judgment of himself depended on it. Until finally the day came of the real test. It happened in the bakery.
147, 8, 49, and where's the last one, Shlomo?
The bread's missing?
There's supposed to be 150.
Maybe you counted wrong.
No. Oh, there it is, still on the shelf.
Hmm? That's a loaf of dough. They forgot it.
Well, the oven's still hot, Shlomo. Bring it to the kitchen when it's done.
Well, I can't. The bakers have gone. No one's here. Knock 'em! No one except me and the loaf of dough. You can't expect me, a second assistant, to bake bread. But he does. Everybody does. This is it, Shlomo. Everything depends on this. Please let it be a good loaf of bread. A good loaf. It is. It's good. Look, it's wonderful.
Shlomo came charging into the kitchen in a burst of triumph. He carried that loaf of bread as if he'd just scored a goal with it in a football game. But the minute he stepped through the door...
Shlomo, just in time. You saved me a trip to the pantry.
Malcolm, what are you doing with my loaf of bread?
Well, I'm going to slice it.
Slice it?
What else should I do with a loaf of bread? I'll slice it, we'll serve it, we'll eat it.
Shlomo watched the loaf delivered into the dining room. He saw his great triumph. Eaten. Simply eaten. No cheers, no congratulations. It was only bread, after all, not a headline. As no one demanded any proof of Shlomo's right to be in Degania, no one celebrated any victory when he simply did his job. Shlomo.
Yes, Leah?
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Shlomo, I want to make a confession. I've been trying to change your character.
I know.
It's impossible.
I suspected as much.
I've come to the conclusion your whole life must be changed.
Believe me, I'm ready to listen to any suggestion.
You know about Chava and Yaakov. They're getting married tomorrow.
Yes. We're baking cakes.
There's one of the very best ways for anyone to change his life.
I hope they'll be happy.
But Shlomo, that's another confession. The second I've made in the last 5 seconds.
You're talking personally about us. Marriage. Lee, I can't believe it.
You can, Shlomo.
Lee, I want you to know, right this second, I've never been so proud.
But what, Shlomo? The way you look, there's a but somewhere.
No, there isn't. Except that for me, a man like me, how can I ever talk to you when I don't belong? Not here in Degania or anywhere.
Shlomo, you're turning me down.
Don't talk like that.
You know they're going to vote on you next week.
But whether they'll make me a permanent member or not, Leah, who knows? Who can dare to hope?
Supposing they do, Shlomo.
I'll bake us a cake then. A cake that you'll be proud of. The day they voted, the entire population of Degania was divided into two parts. In the barnyard, there was me, waiting. In the dining hall, there was everybody else, making up their minds. What they were saying about me, I'd never know. All I could do was wait. It's hard to wait like a rock
like this stone in my hand, while a couple of hundred people decide your life for you. Who are they, after all? By what right could they decide on the whole future of a man? By what right? It was her door that I'd hit. Leah's. Actually, in Degania, this chicken house was Leah. And this fence was Yitzhak. He built it. And Moshe worked on the barn. The barn was Moshe. These were the people of Degania. It was the trees, the buildings, the lawns who were gathered in the dining room this afternoon. It was they who spoke of Shlomo Volmus. And they had the right. They, who else but they, were the kibbutz. Now it was inside of me. The idea that was the root of Degania. But now too came the final question. In all of Degania, the contribution of Shlomo Volmus was only this bit of smoke from the bakery. To the whole look of Degania, that bit of smoke didn't add very much. Was it enough? Such a little smoke. Enough to make Shlomo Volmus a permanent part of...
Shlomo!
Yes, yes, Nakam, I'm over here.
Come on!
You want me at the meeting?
Come on!
That's why this emergency meeting was called. We all want a flour mill here in the Upper Jordan Valley. We've agreed to cooperate to build one.
Shlomo, come away from the door. Sit down.
Oh, yes, yes, Nakam, sure.
You've all heard the terms the agency will give us. We must telephone back to Jerusalem in a half hour. I want the opinion of each settlement.
Tell me, Nakam, how'd the vote go? The vote on me.
Shlomo, quiet. Can't you see this is a crisis?
We'll now hear from Gennaro.
Yes, it's a crisis. I'm sorry. How about my own crisis?
Shlomo.
Flour mills are important, but a man's life, that's something, too.
And now, please, Ashdod Yaakov.
They talk. It's easy. They belong. It's easy to talk for a place that you can feel is your home. But how about
Sagania?
All right, Shlomo, your turn.
What?
Go ahead. This is the question of the flour supply, your department.
But me?
Degania, please, can we hear from Degania?
Shlomo, get to your feet.
But how can I?
Mr. Chairman, I can't talk in this meeting. I'm no more than, well, a visitor here.
Good Lord, it's all right, Shlomo.
A vote's been taken, you're qualified.
It was unanimous, Shlomo. The vote was unanimous.
Unanimously? But that means everybody.
We can't have any further delay. This is urgent, Shlomo, urgent. What is the opinion of Degania?
I came to my feet. One thought kept ringing. The little I had to offer was accepted, even though I had failed to become a hero. There were no heroes in this room, only people who found in each other the fulfillment of their own real worth. Out of the small bit that each of us offered came the cooperative miracle of a working, building, growing group of people. And now I was part of them and everyone else was a part of me. I got to my feet.
Mr. Chairman, I speak for Degania.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting from Chicago Dr. Samuel M. Blumenfield, Superintendent of the Board of Jewish Education and President of the College of Jewish Studies in Chicago, currently celebrating its 25th anniversary. Dr. Blumenfield.
Shlomo Volmus is both reality and symbol. Those who visited Israel in recent years know full well the tremendous hardships that face this reborn land in redeeming lives shattered by the fury of fascism and Nazism. People of all creeds who love man made in the image of God are indebted to the Jewish communities in Israel for making the thousands of Shlomos forget their nightmares of Belzen and Dachau and Cyprus by providing them not only with shelter and opportunities for work, but with a place in their homes and their hearts. Shlomo is also a symbol of Jewish men and women who enjoy the many privileges of this great country, but are not at ease or at home with themselves because they do not know or appreciate the religious ideals and practices of their fathers. People who are unfamiliar with their ancestral traditions and are uninformed about the teaching of their fathers, of their faith, are often unhappy individuals, lacking anchorage and inner security. A generation of Jews bereft of higher aspirations and devoid of the joys and sorrows of Jewish group life are also DPs. They are spiritually displaced persons who are in need of ideals and traditions which bring meaning, stability, and color to human society. They are in want of a sense of belonging to a vital community and a spiritual fellowship. The Jewish community in America has a moral obligation to cope with its spiritually uprooted Shlomos by providing them with religious schools, synagogues, and cultural fellowships for which they could gain a sense of sharing and a great heritage. What a kibbutz in Israel does for the victims of cruelty and persecution, the Jews of America can and must do for the victims of Jewish wastelands and negligence of parents who have forgotten the admonition of Scripture that man does not live by bread alone. The Jews of this country have a moral obligation to help the Shlomos build a new life in Israel. Ours is also the moral duty to make it possible for Jewish religious and educational institutions to build spiritual hearths for our children and ourselves here in blessed America.
Thank you, Dr. Blumenfeld. Our eternal light drama today, Dream No More, was written by Joseph Krumgold and was based on the motion picture Dream No More, which Mr. Krumgold wrote and directed, produced by Palestine Films, and currently being shown throughout the country. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Kadams. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.